ahead and turn to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, and we're going to read just one verse here, verse 9. It says, "And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." The Lord had just spoke a parable to many people that followed him, and he spoke to them about what we know of as the sower and the seed. He talked about the seed being sown in it. Sown upon good ground and rocky ground and thorny ground. And the message that the Lord was getting across to them was about the conditions of men's hearts. That you've got some stony hearts and you've got some hearts that's just overtaken with the cares of the world. So he's letting them know that there's some that's paying attention. And then there's some that's just simply not paying attention. That there's some that maybe they're hearers of the word, but they're not really doers of the word. It never really catches on. And there's some that are overnighters that they hear the word and it sounds good tonight, but by tomorrow, you know, it never had any root really whatsoever. And so he goes on, he says that some, you know, they hear and they allow that word to take root in their heart, and it changes them. And so he gives this wonderful, beautiful message to these people. Then he announces this, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." He didn't try to force it on anybody. He didn't chase anyone down and say, "You really, really need to hear this." He just said, "If you have ears to hear, hear." And I believe I can say it like this. In other words, pay attention to the Word of God. It's important. Pay attention to it. Let God's Word have its effect upon you. Let it take root in your heart and let it change your heart. God's Word will change us. It'll change you forever. The moment you got saved, that was God's Word changing you forever. You went from death unto life. You went to having no life to having eternal life. To being dead in trespasses and sins to having the life of Jesus inside of you. You need to loose Him and let Him go. We need to unleash Jesus on the world. We have Him in our heart. We need to unleash Him and let Him go. Let Him go upon this world. And so, the Lord says, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Let this word take root. Let this word produce fruit in your life so that you can be what you need to be. Now, he's saying to each one, examine the conditions of your heart. Examine the ground. Is that ground fertile? Has that ground been broken up? Is that ground good to receive the Word of God so that it'll produce like it should? I believe it was here, and sometimes I get confused if it was, I say it here at Mars Hill, but that's really beside the point. It works real good. I believe I told it here, though, about a man that was traveling down a very familiar road. We're good with familiar. We're terrible with something that's different for the most part. Most of us, we hate different. We don't want change. We don't want to have our routines interrupted in any kind of way. And that's the way this man was. He's traveling down a very familiar highway. And he gets to a sign that said detour. And so he knew what that sign meant. That sign means that I don't need to continue going the way that I'm going. I need to take a turn and they're going to route me in a different direction. So I need to take this detour. But he said, "No, I'm just going to continue going on. It's familiar to me to go this way." And he keeps on going on, and he gets to a sign. It says, "Road closed up ahead." He says, "Well, you know, I hate to see that sign there, but this is familiar to me, and maybe I can kind of slip right on by." And he slips on by the sign. He keeps on going, and he comes to another sign. It says, "Bridge is out." And he says, I'm going to keep on going. Maybe they hadn't torn the bridge down. Maybe it's still there. Maybe they just, you know, in the future, the bridge will be gone. And he gets there, and sure enough, the bridge is gone, torn down. There's no way to pass. And so he just kind of hangs his head. And he turns around and he starts driving back. And Brother Ryan, he gets back to the sign. It says, road closed. And on the back of the sign, it said, welcome back, stupid. And, you know, he saw the signs, and all the signs said, you need to turn. You need to make a turn. But this is familiar to me, and I'm going to continue going the path that I know to go. And when he gets there, he has to turn around, and he makes a mistake. God has a message for us. He speaks to our heart with a still, small voice. I want to ask you something about that. We all know, we've been preached to all our lives, Brother Jake, about that still, small voice that speaks to our heart. But how many of us are really listening? There's nothing familiar right now. Everything has been shaken up. Everything has changed. Everything is so uncertain. Thank the Lord for a good Sunday school lesson that in the midst of a bunch of chaos, a lesson was prepared, I don't know how many months ago, to prepare us for this day about certainty in an uncertain world. Thank the Lord for God's Word that never changes. What a blessing that is. Oh. But when you look, it seems like everything we know of, everything that we're familiar with has been changed, and people are just longing. I want some familiar. I want to be able to go back to the restaurant and have some of that good cheese dip. I want to go back to a restaurant and go eat a steak. I want to be able to go back into Walmart and grab a buggy without feeling like I'm going to get infected. Everybody's longing. I just want something that's the same. I want it to be like it was. And I'm afraid if we're not careful, what we will do is we will be longing so much for familiar that we'll miss what the Lord is trying to show us in the present. God wants us to stop and listen. God has a message for us. He has a message for us. He brought you to church today because He has a message for you here at the church. And, I know that we record it for sermon audio, so maybe a week later the message will be somebody on sermon audio as well. But God speaks to our hearts with that still small voice. And His Word is more necessary than our food. Job made that statement, didn't he? He said, I esteem the Word of God more than my necessary food. That's how important it was to him. How important is God's Word to us that He would speak to our heart, not just to take and open your Bible and read it, but to take it and open it and to meditate on it and then allow the Lord some time to speak to our hearts in a way that whenever we hear it, we say, you know what, no doubt that message was for me. A lot of times we hear a message and we say, I wish so-and-so was here to hear that message. What about letting the message be for you? To hear what God wants you to hear. His Word is more necessary than food. He meets with the church to give us His preached Word, His message that we pray for. I thank the Lord for a good church that prays for one another. And you pray for me, and you pray that God will settle Brother Brad on the message that we need to hear. But in doing so, don't forget to pay attention to the message that God has sent for you. His message that we pray for. His direction that He sends is more precious than gold. We've heard a lot about what's essential. This is essential and that's essential. I'm going to tell you what's more essential than anything else, and that is God's message to us. His Word is more important than anything else. So often we pass up His Word, though, like that road closed sign. We just keep right on going. Well, what's familiar? I'm familiar with this route. I'm going to continue to go the way that I'm going. And I just want to cling to the things that I know. But wait a minute. God has allowed something to come this way to cause us to stop and listen. Pay attention. Pay attention. I want you to see just how easy this is, okay? Look over at Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel 33, verse 30. God told a prophet to go preach a message, go deliver a message to his people, and then he tells the messenger how the people's going to react to his message. Look at verse 30. Also, thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. And when this come to pass, lo, it will come. Then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them. That is such a sad statement to me when I read this. Just a picture of God's people that I believe have gotten so caught up in the familiar. They've gotten so caught up in a rut, just going through the motions. And God says, I'm going to send them a message. And I want you to go preach this message, and this is the way they're going to react about it. So listen to that description that God places upon His people, that they are going to be hearers, but they're not going to be doers. In other words, they do not have ears to hear. I hope that'll never be said about us, that we don't have ears to hear. It may take something loud and clear to shake us up and get us to stop and pay attention, but by all means, let's stop and let's pay attention. His word was not taking root in their hearts. I believe I could describe them this way. God did many times. He said, they're stiff-necked. They're stiff-necked people. They're a hard-hearted people. They're set in their ways. They're doing the familiar. They're longing for the familiar. The description, I believe, very accurately describes many of us today. Just going through the motions. You ever found yourself just going through the motions? I'll ask you something, even about coming to church. Have you looked back over the time you've went to church and you've looked at these past few weeks and you said, you know what, I've been taking some things for granted. I can tell you this, even a handshake, a hug around the neck, I have taken that for granted more than I ever realized. To meet up and have everybody come to meet up together, I have taken that for granted a lot more than I ever realized. How precious the service is to be able to come and worship God together. I have certainly taken that for granted. But this description, it accurately describes so many of us today just going through the motions. Listen to what he says about it. He says, they're inviting others to come hear you. A lot of times we pat ourselves on the back. We invite somebody to church. He said, look, they're inviting people to come to church. They're inviting people to come hear the message. And listen, I'll go a step further, Ezekiel. They recognize the message that you're sending to them and preaching to them. They recognize it as the Lord's message. A lot of times we hear the message and we say, I enjoyed the message. That was a good message. He said they are sitting down as the congregation. They're coming in and they're sitting down and they're paying attention, it looks like. It seems like they're paying attention. They're even leaving the service and they're bragging about the good preacher, the good prophet. They're bragging about it. They're talking about, oh, I tell you what, come hear this man. He has just got the sweetest sounding voice. He's like a famous singer. He's like one that could play an instrument real well. Oh, you would love to hear this man. We might say it like this. I tell you what, that preacher's got a good delivery. I like hearing him. Boy, if we call him for revival, I'll show up because I like hearing that man's delivery. I like what he sounds like. I just enjoy hearing him. But God goes on to say this. He said, but they will not do according to the words of God. It's not going to change it. God sends his message so it'll change us. So it'll make us better people. I wonder what it would take to get their attention. I wonder what it would take to get our attention. You know, we sat here this morning, we may say, well, that's not me. I hear the message. And when I hear the message, I know it's God's message and I know it's to do me some good. We may think that we're close enough to the Lord that this would never happen to us. But I want to turn and read one other place and I want you to see just how easy it is for us to be guilty of this. Okay, John 21. Look at John 21. Verse 9. And as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon and bread. Jesus said unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there was so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus said unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord? Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to the disciples after he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my lambs. He said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my sheep. He said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Now, I know that's very familiar reading for all of us, but I want you to get this scene, okay? The disciples had followed Jesus for somewhere around 3.5 years. They had gotten very used to the way things were going. They were used to Jesus calling the shots. They were used to him being their leader. They were used to putting their eyes on him. They knew that he was right there. If they got in trouble, just run to Jesus. Jesus will fix it. If we get in a storm, just run to Jesus. Jesus will calm the storm. If somebody's sick and we can't handle it, we don't have enough strength, then we just turn to Jesus. Jesus will fix the problem. He'll tell us what we've done wrong. They got very, very used to that. And all of a sudden, everything changed. Jesus is gone. He's been resurrected. He's shown up a time or two, but I mean, it's nothing like it used to be. And Peter had got him just about enough of it. He said, I go fishing. I'm through. I believe that's what he's saying. I don't believe he's just saying, I'm going to plan me a half a day fishing trip just to clear my thoughts. I believe he's saying, I'm through. I'm going back to the familiar. I'm going back to get my nets. I'm getting on my boat and I'm going fishing like I used to do. And all of a sudden, Jesus shows up and the familiar is there again. I mean, this could not be a better, more beautiful scene for Peter. He's looking and the Lord is there. And my goodness, the Lord has got this picture of peace. He is cooking fish. Oh my goodness, you can smell that fish from the boat. He's got fish cooking on the coals. Everything just right. And he comes up, the Lord said, you know, he blessed us with a big catch again. I can just see Peter, he's got that net and he's dragging it up on the hill and he throws it down. He starts counting fish and the Lord said, come cook some. That's what we're about to do. We're going to have a good old time like we always did. And he got, by the time he gets him a good mouthful of fish, Jesus said, do you love me? Oh, Lord, you know I love you. You know I love you. Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know I do. You know I do. Feed my sheep. Feed my lamb. Peter, you're not getting the message. Do you love me? The Bible says after three times, Peter was grieved in his heart because the Lord asked him a third time. He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. He said, feed my sheep. If he'd have got that message the first time, the Lord wouldn't have had to tell him three times. But because things are back to normal, I'm enjoying the familiar. Don't interrupt me right now. I'm doing what I like doing. I like fish. I like eating fish. I like having good fellowship with my friends. I'm thankful that the Lord is here with us. And so just don't interrupt that. Everything's good. I love this scene because I love the familiar. I love you by my side. But Jesus was saying, do you love me enough to be committed to my work? If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, hear what I am saying to you. Peter was hearing, but he was enjoying the familiar. It took three times to grieve him with the message. How about you this morning? Are you hearing what the Lord is saying to you personally? If you're hearing, you're lost. Are you hearing that Jesus died for you? Have you heard that? Or what are you doing with that information? Have you trusted Jesus? If you would trust Jesus this morning with all of your heart, not trust Him that He was a good man and He lived a long time ago. Trust Jesus as Savior. You're lost. You need to be saved. Jesus is a Savior. Put your faith in Jesus Christ and let Him save you. The time is now that you trust Jesus. That's the message to you, the gospel. You may not have tomorrow, but because of the love of God, you have the opportunity to be saved today. By believing in Jesus as your Savior. Child of God, are you hearing the message from the Lord? We don't need to so much just be looking for the familiar as we do looking for the message that God has for us. I'm sure things will get back to, I say I'm sure, I don't know. My prayer is that we'll see things back familiar at some point. But more than that, whether it ever does, you know what? Rapture could take place here in a moment, couldn't it? Well, how that's going to change things. We've never seen anything like that before. It's going to change everything. But right now, we have the opportunity to hear what God is saying to us. I hope we're listening. Last verse.